I once had a student come up to me and say, "Miss Genta, if you're not crockin', you're not rockin'." Which evidently was some motivation for me to go and buy a pair of Crocs. I do not own Crocs. I think I would look like very awkward in a pair of Crocs, but they were convinced if I wasn't crockin', I wasn't rockin'. To which another student said, "Miss Genta, if you're not bootin', you're not scootin'." I'm like, what does that even mean? What are you talking about? They're like, "Do you own any boots?" And I'm like, "I do not own any cowboy boots." And they're like, "Well, if you're not bootin', you're not scootin'." I said, "What does scootin' mean?" And they're like, "Well, I don't know, but you're not doing it." I give you all of these ridiculous rhyming references because if you were like, "That makes no sense. What are these kids talking about?" I'm going to give you a rhyming reference that makes so much sense. In fact, if you stick around during this whole episode, you're going to be like, "Yes, I support that rhyme because it's actually a classroom management idea." If you feel like you are struggling to get kids motivated, engaged, following the expectations, then you need this episode. Because if you're not spinning, you're not winning. What do I mean by that? Well, in this episode, we are going to tackle a classroom competition that has literally changed everything in my classroom in 2023. It does involve spinning a wheel and winning the attention back from students. If you like competitions, if you like games, if you like having fun, or if you just simply like when students are doing exactly what they should be doing and you're having a really good time teaching and reaching kids, this episode is for you. Let's get spinning and winning, baby. There is awesome in every single school day. Here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. Some of the top downloaded episodes of the This Teacher Life podcast have actually been based off of class competitions. So many of you have tried the Uno card competition. Many of you loved the dynamic dice competition. There have been so many offered throughout the past three seasons of this. I wanted to do another episode because this one is different. This combines a wheel and a deck of cards. Now, I'm going to go into this episode in advance and say, you need to spend $0 in order to do this. You can just use a normal deck of cards that you have in a drawer somewhere. Doesn't even matter if it's a full deck. You can actually use a free link, free website called Wheel O Names to create a digital wheel. But know that in my classroom, I have this random like prize wheel that I got off the Amazon prior to COVID. It was pretty inexpensive. And I use a giant deck of cards that I got from the Kohl's for nearly free because I had Kohl's cash. So in advance, did I spend money on some items to do this in my classroom? Yes. Could I have the exact same success and the exact same motivation and do this competition exactly the same way, spending $0? Also, yes. So, now that you know that in advance, let's get into some of the details and the specifics. I think every class competition starts with frustration, right? We are frustrated about some sort of lack of compliance, some sort of behavior situation, some sort of academic tragedy that's happening in our classroom with missing assignments. So we can get frustrated about it, or we can have some fun with it. And I always err on the why not have more fun in the classroom. Some people are like, kids should just want to learn. Kids should just be motivated. Well, you know what? I'm not motivated to work out. I like to have a little fun when I work out. I'm not motivated to drive to work every single day, but sometimes if I'm drinking a nice coffee, I feel a little bit more motivated. The thing is, as humans, sometimes we need a little bit of motivation outside of intrinsic things and outside of just, you know, naturally saying, well, I'm just gonna get over it. So let's dive into this. In January, my students returned for 2023 as angels. I'm not even kidding. The first week back, they were rocking and rolling. They were organized. They were respectful. And I thought, oh, look at this. My classroom management is so good. They have just come into 2023 with a clear heart and a clear head and a clean slate. And we are just going to breeze through third and fourth quarter. Okay. I'm serious, though. The first week was really good. We can call it the honeymoon phase. We can call it that they were in a Netflix coma. We can call it whatever we want. But by week two, the reality of, okay, we've got some work to do with some behavior management and some relationship building and some organization, it became very obvious. And that's when I started this competition. I have this wheel that I bust out again. I got it on the Zon. It was like $30, but you can do the exact same thing on something called Wheel of Names. Literally, WHEELOFNAMES.com. Hashtag not sponsored. Nonetheless, you can get a digital wheel. And what I ended up doing was asking each of my class periods, like, what are some things that you guys notice are happening? What are some things that are holding us back from getting momentum, from being like super productive during the class period? Things that are maybe at this point even frustrating you guys. And I literally talked to every single one of my classes about that. Because here's the thing. We as teachers can list 10 to 12 things that we need help with that we are seeing. But if we really want kids to take ownership of behaviors and that kind of thing, ask them. They know what they need help on. They know what they need work on. So I just started asking each class, what are like three things that if we did these, if we successfully completed these every single day, that class would go better, we would learn more, we would have more fun, there would be less frustration. And I took those things from each of my classes and I put them on the wheel. I want to give you some examples of like things that kids identified. In one class period, interestingly, my first hour family, it's a freaking pencil. A freaking pencil is not that big of a deal, right? Like, I'm not here to fight the pencil fight, but I also believe that, like, my gosh, bringing a pencil isn't that hard. So in first hour, the first hour family, God love them. It's my biggest class of the day. My classroom is busting from the seams. They're still tired. They got sleep in their eyeballs. They literally got like sleep boogers hanging out of their eyelashes still because it's 7:50 in the morning when they pop into my classroom. So they identified, man, we really need to start bringing pencils to class so we're not passing them out and everyone's like, oh, can I borrow one? Can I borrow one? It's all this chaos. I agreed. That would have been awesome. Yeah, please, everyone bring a pencil. They also said it would be really helpful if we took better notes. My first hour family is a math class. And sometimes during first hour, they're not real motivated to take these notes. And they said, I'm confident I would do better on tests. I'm confident I would do better when I got home or to ninth hour if I was taking notes and had examples and samples of what we're doing. I'm like, absolutely. I've been trying to preach this to you guys for half a year so far. So those are the things that they picked. Those things that my eighth graders in my math class picked were very different than things like my seventh graders picked. Some things that my seventh graders picked were like respect of bathroom passes. For whatever reason, my seventh graders want to go to the bathroom every single day during every single period. And they're all, I'm sure you can relate, emergencies, right? Like, it's an emergency. I'm like, you say this every single day. And they're like, I drank so much tea this morning. And I'm like, why are you drinking that much tea? Why are you about to have a tea explosion in my classroom? Why are you having a teenado? Okay. Nonetheless, that was funny. Okay, teenado. Nonetheless, what I'm saying is they realized that they need to get the bathroom stuff figured out before they arrive to class. There is enough time for them during the passing period. So in one of the segments on my dry erase wheel, I literally wrote like respective hall passes. Another thing that my seventh graders said was like just being kind about personal space. Again, I've got desks in my classroom. My classroom has so many desks and not much space. My classroom does not have enough room to comfortably have 26 desks in it. It's a very small classroom. And I've got those desks that have like the metal buckets underneath so you can like keep like a math book or a textbook or something like that. And they are obsessed with putting their feet on those and pushing forward. And it just really pisses everyone off in my class. I don't use that word a lot on this podcast, but at this point, like, it just infuriates my students when they're like, oh, you're shoving me forward. Like, get your legs off the back of my desk. And so they knew that. They knew that was something that they needed to work on. So by the end of the day, I had things from like behaviors versus organization, things like having my Chromebook charged so I can actually complete work. It had things like bringing my folder so I have my materials. It had things like actually participating and not having a negative and nasty attitude. All of those things that if you looked at the wheel and all 12 of the items on the wheel were completed, it would be like, like literally the windows in your classroom would just burst open and like lovely white doves would fly in and like the wind would start breezing through your hair and it would just like feel like a heavenly moment. If all 12 items on my wheel were completed, that's what would happen. And so the kids created exactly what they thought they should work on. And those 12 expectations were the 12 expectations that we were going to focus on for throughout the entire rest of the month. So that was buy-in one. Kids picked the expectations, and I happen to agree with all of them. And if your kids are throwing out ridiculous things that they don't need to work on, guide them. You can absolutely guide them in the process, especially if you're working with elementary students and they're starting to throw things out. They're like, well, that's not really a problem. You can guide them in an appropriate direction, all right? Come to an understanding, come to a consensus. The next level of buy-in is I actually let each of my class period families give themselves a team name. So of course, you've probably got a first hour, a second hour, a third hour, a fourth hour. I call them first hour family, fourth hour family, and so on. But I wanted to give them the opportunity to have even more buy-in and create team names. If you teach middle school or high school, that can naturally happen because of all of your class periods. If you're like, Monica, I don't even know how these class competitions would work because I see the same kids all day. Well, you could have them create a classroom family name, right? They're not your second graders. They're not your fourth graders. Like, what kind of fun team name do they want to create for the month of, you know, April? By the way, I highly recommend doing this at the start of the month. I think month-long competitions work really, really well for middle school and high school. I even think that they can work really well in elementary settings if you segment your day. Your kids can earn points for morning block, afternoon block, and like before bus block. So you can create different segments of the day for you to spin, okay? Or you could even have them earn points during different subjects as you teach throughout the day. So have them create a team name. I want to give you a few examples of team names that my middle schoolers picked this month, because they were so freaking random. Like, I love teaching middle school because you have absolutely no idea what's going to happen. One of my classes is called the Zesties. And they were very specific about having a capital Z and everything else lowercase. They also wanted me to put a copyright symbol next to their name because they didn't want anybody else to steal it. And I want to be very clear, they're not Zesties. They're the Zesties, capital Z, copyrighted. They couldn't really explain what that meant, but they're the Zesties, copyright. One of my seventh grade classes decided to put the Buff Worms. Yes, that's right. You heard me correctly. The Buff Worms, like strong worms. They didn't want that to have the copyright symbol. They wanted to trademark that. They had no idea the difference between a copyright and a trademark, but they went, I put the TM on that one. Just completely random. Absolutely completely random names. And they think it's hilarious. And I wrote those on my board. So I have a section of my whiteboard. You can use a chalkboard, Promethean board, like a dry erase board, whatever. But post the names or the name of your class on a board. Make it super visual. This constant visual reminder that, hey, we are competing for something awesome based off of your behaviors and the classroom expectations that you guys picked. Now we're going to get into how we spin, how we win, and how a deck of cards is all incorporated into this in the second part of this episode that is coming very soon. But for now, I want to tell you about a really cool opportunity that's coming up that you are going to love. Teacher friends, this is the last call. I repeat, the last call. I was trying to sound like a DJ there and it went weird, but this is the last call for you to get registered for the Crushing It for Kids virtual PD course that I'm leading during April. It is going to be so freaking fun, full of ideas, full of motivation, full of engaging strategies like spinning and winning that we're talking about, but it's happening in a structured, fun, flexible virtual environment where you can earn up to 15 hours worth of PD credits. I know that fourth quarter can be really, really hard. And at this point, we're tired, okay? We're stressed. We might be frustrated. The Crushing It for Kids virtual PD course is going to solve all of those problems. And I promise you, when the final bell rings of this school year, you are going to walk out of your school being like, man, nailed it, crushed it. This fun, flexible, and affordable course is beginning in April, and there is still time to sign up. You can get registered at monicagenta.com/courses. That's Monica, GENTA.com/courses. I'm also including a direct link in the show notes. Guys, this is going to be so fun. You are going to find so many ideas that are not only going to work for the end of this school year, but you're going to have them in your teacher toolbox ready to go for next school year as well. I want you to be a part of the Crushing It for Kids course in April. So let's make April awesome together. Check out monicagenta.com/courses. So we've got the wheel set up. We've got the teams established. Now it's time to talk about how we actually spin that wheel. What I do is at the end of the class period or at the end of your morning block, that's the perfect time to spin. I don't pre-establish the expectation because the goal, of course, is for kids to self-manage all of these. The goal is for kids to use their life skills and their behavior management skills to make sure that they are following all of the items on the wheel. Again, on my wheel, there are 12 sections, but on the Wheel of Names free digital link that I was talking about, you can customize the number of slots on the wheel, which is really cool. But I spin it at the end because I want to make sure that we are doing the best possible job in all of those categories. So I reserve like the last 1 to 2 minutes of all of my class periods to spin the wheel. All right. When they spin the wheel, let's say it lands on everyone was taking notes. All they would have to do is hold up their notes. And I want a visual that like, yes, you were engaged and you were participating if we were doing practice problems. If every single student did that, then they get to draw a card. Draw a card from a deck of cards. Because this is going to create tons of buy-in. Because there is a little bit of like random chance to this. Because if they did what they needed to do and they drew a 9 from the deck, they just got 9 points. If they drew a 4, they got 4 points. If they got an ace, that's worth 1 or 11 points. Now you might be thinking, Monica, why would kids pick 1 point? Why wouldn't they just always pick 11 points? Why would a kid want 1 point for their class? Well, because the way that I've structured it, and again, you can decide if this is good or not for your specific students, is if a majority of kids weren't taking notes, or maybe even half the class wasn't taking notes, or depending on the situation, just a couple of them weren't taking notes, then that card can also be subtracted from their total. So if they didn't have the notes, they didn't meet the notes expectation, that's minus 9. If they drew a 4, it's minus 4. If they drew an ace, well, they got kind of lucky. Because in a real game of cards, aces are worth 11 or 1. So in that case, they maybe only are subtracting 1. I love the randomness to this because it keeps all of your class periods. It keeps everyone engaged. It keeps everyone on the edge of their seats for the entire month because people, class periods, your students can come back very quickly because jokers are worth 20. Just as a fun kind of wild thing, I have all of the face cards in the deck worth nothing. For those of you who are like, kids should just have a pencil. Kids should just charge their Chromebook. Kids can should just be responsible. I agree, which is why in the game, I sometimes will say aces are worth 1 or 11. Jokers are worth 20. But for this month, face cards are worth nothing. And if everyone took notes and you get a face card, you're like, we don't get any points today. I know. Thank you for taking notes, though. That was awesome. Sometimes you don't get a prize for doing what you should be doing. Sometimes you don't get the pat on the back for doing what you should be doing. You get pride and glory that you took really good notes. You get pride and glory that everyone came prepared with a pencil. You've got pride and glory that your Chromie, your Chromebook is charged up, and so you're ready to go all day if you need it. That's how we incorporate important life skills and life lessons, is those face cards. The jacks, the kings, the queens, I say are worth none. They're also a nice lifesaver. Because let's say the expectation was respecting personal space. And the kids are shoving each other back and forth and like touching each other and tapping each other and all of these annoying things that kids do. And then they draw a queen. I'm not taking away points in that moment either. That's like a second chance. That's like a you got lucky. Spinning and winning is so much fun. Because there's so many great social and emotional learning life skills that are naturally built into this on purpose. Does it have grit? Yes. Does it have grace? Yes. Does it have random chance? Yes. Does it have fun? Yes. Is it keeping kids more organized and engaged? Yes. Is it causing them to self-manage? Yeah. Because here's the thing. Sometimes when kids are like, oh my gosh, I don't have something to write with. Somebody's like, here, take this. It's okay. And they're helping each other out. Sometimes when a kid is like tapping a pencil and they're going like this, instead of me being like, oh my gosh, they'll turn around and be like, hey, shh, shh. Totally appropriate. We don't have to manage everything. And class competitions are a really great way to remind kids that they are playing as a team. They are a classroom family. We are working towards a common goal. So what's the goal? For me, I've done it a few different ways, but for second semester, it was whichever one of my class period families, whichever class team got the most points at the end of the month won. Most points. So only one of my classes was going to get some sort of reward. If there was a tie, of course, I would have rewarded both. There wasn't a tie. It could have been. There just wasn't. If you are working with the same kids all day long, so let's say you have got a first grade classroom family and they decided to call themselves the Teletubbies, okay? What a flashback. They called themselves the Teletubbies, then maybe you are setting a numeric goal. Like the goal is to get to 100 points by the end of the month, or the goal is to get to 200 points by the end of the month, depending how often you're spinning that wheel each day. In my class periods, for my middle school classes, I only spin it once per day. They can draw one card per day, and then I'm either adding or subtracting those points. You might be thinking, so can classes go into negatives? Yes. And at the beginning, that might happen. Because if like on day one, your students pull a 7 and then they didn't fulfill the expectation on the wheel, then they would be at -7. Now, all of my kids very quickly accumulated points because there was buy-in. Because kids did self-manage. Because kids did get it figured out. You know what's really cool about spinning and winning? You know who's just as excited to spin the wheel and to get kids points and to draw really high cards? You know who's just as excited as the kids? Me. I really believe that if we want to love our job and crush it for kids and have a great time as a teacher, like we should be doing things that get us excited too. We should be doing things that are like, man, this is going to add a little flavor and spice to the class period for the whole month. Absolutely. This idea completely made those first few weeks of the return to 2023 better. I did this in January, and then in February, I did a slightly different competition, and in March, I did a slightly different competition, but this is one that is just unique and so easy to implement, and I wanted to share it with you. Spinning and winning is one of those things that I believe could just completely change your classroom. Now, there might be one other question out lingering, and it's this. Monica, did you spend money? Did you buy food? Were anti-food in the classroom, or were anti-spending money in the classroom? Here's how I always do it. I let my students that win pick a reasonable reward. What a great life skill. They pick the reasonable reward. In fact, I let my class periods discuss it about halfway through the month, just as like another thing to keep them motivated. And one of my classes wanted to just go to the gym and have volleyball/basketball going on. One of my classes, of course, wanted the pizza party. And I said, now time out. Let's talk about, is that reasonable? And they're like, well, I mean, there's not that many of us in this class. There's 19 kids in the class. And I was like, okay, but 19 kids for a pizza party, how many pizzas would we need? And we did the math on that. And we talked about how many slices you would get. And they quickly realized like, oh, dang, Miss Genta's going to be spending like close to $50 to have this pizza party that they were envisioning. And I didn't say no. I didn't say no pizza parties. I said, is it reasonable? And they quickly realized, not really. I'm not anti-food in the classroom. I'm not anti-food as rewards. I think we have to be careful about how and when and food scarcity and allergies and all those kinds of things. But I'm not anti that if we can come to a consensus as a class. I'm a big believer in, I want to reward students with things that are actually meaningful for them. But oftentimes it's not food. It's, can we play a game of catchphrase in class? Can you give us Old Man Candies? Will you get us Suckers? Can we watch an episode of The Floor is Lava on the Netflix? When we give kids full ownership over, what expectations do we need to follow? What is our team name going to be? How can we hold each other accountable? And what are we working towards? It's not about me. It's not about, I need your help. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need you to say this. I'm going to go buy you that. No, no, no. It's all accountability on their end. And that equates to so much better buy-in. I hope that you have loved this spinning and winning idea. If you need more clarity, if you've got questions, if you've got something where you're like, hey, can you explain this? Like, please reach out. You guys know that I answer all my own TikTok things, comments, Instagram messages, Facebook messages, emails, like shoot me some communication. And I would love to help you with this if you've got any questions. If you try this in your classroom, shoot me a picture, show me your board, show me your team names. I would love to cheer you on a personal level when this is a massive success in your classroom as well. I want you spinning and winning in the month of April by joining the Crushing It for Kids course, because I promise if you like this idea, that course is going to change everything. And like I said earlier, it is last call. You want to enroll in this fun, flexible PD before it is too late, and registration closes pretty soon. So get signed up. I'm confident that you will not regret it. Guys, thank you for listening to this episode. Thank you for spinning and winning with your students. But most importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.